WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Man, I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Drums, please!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a shout-out to everybody who's listening to us over at Gerwig.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com. They're amazing people. They do amazing things. You should really go look at their website because they're awesome. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We're trusting the process all night long. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. You can come to Gerwick.net. You can come to WildTalkRadio.com. You can come to RackRadioShow.com. And interact with us there. You can tweet us during the show and all that fun stuff. We don't bite, so you can interact with us. We have people in the chat room right now. You can listen wherever you are on TuneIn Radio. Simply search Wild Talk Radio Network in the TuneIn Radio app. You can get the show whenever we are live. Any of the Wild Talk Radio Network programming when we are live.
Yes, please talk to us. Interact with us. We like it when you do that. It makes it fun.
Makes it fun. Makes it interactive. And we have a lot to get into this evening here on the show.
Oh my God, we have a stacked show. We have such a stacked show.
We do. We have a totally stacked show. So tell everybody what they can look forward to hearing tonight.
Well, we have all your favorites. We have news. We have Tweet of the Week. We have NXT and SmackDown. We're also going to be talking a little Money in the Bank because, you know, things happen. But, well, we have a guest. And she's not just a guest. Oh no, dear. She's a queen.
She's an actual queen.
She's an actual queen. We are going to be joined by the one, the only, the fantastic Angelina Love later on in the show, where she's going to talk to us all about Slammiversary and her plans for the show.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I can't wait for that. Yes, we have Angelina Love live on the program this evening. So tune in. She'll be coming up here right after the news. We're going to get into Angelina Love and talk all things Slammiversary. So stick around. Stay tuned. But we have news to get to presented by Gerwick.net.
That's right, and we're going to jump into the top story of the week, which just happened to break today. This is brand new news, breaking news. And that is that Mauro Ranallo is back with WWE after a brief hiatus from the company. He has inked a brand new deal, and he will be returning to be the new play-by-play announcer for WWE NXT. I'm excited for this.
Just by the amount of responses on the Twitter machine today, everyone is very excited that Mauro Ranallo is back calling WWE content. He'll be doing the NXT TV tapings tomorrow, so if you're in the Florida area, go say hello at the NXT tapings, because Mauro Ranallo will be there, and he'll be there every time NXT is doing a show. So yes, that is awesome. He is back. He is back for the long haul. He has signed a multi-year deal with WWE to be the lead announcer for NXT. Tom Phillips will now just be doing SmackDown Live on Tuesday nights. So basically, they swap shows. That's how that goes.
And I think this will be a better fit for Mauro.
This will allow him to continue to do all of his other projects, keeps him off the road 70 plus days a year, probably down to like 20 at this point. So that is awesome for him. He continued being the Bellator announcer because he signed a deal with Bellator, so he'll be doing their shows. He has the honor and privilege of doing the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight in August as well, so that's pretty cool. So he's a lot on his table now. He's the voice of NXT to help Percy Watson and Nigel McGuinness grow in their role.
And I'm fine with this. I'm 100% fine with this.
I'm completely 100% behind this. This should be awesome for him and awesome for everyone involved. So go Mauro. Welcome back to WWE. It's not like you even left. It's only been like a few months.
Well, but we missed him.
People did miss him. That's true. It is a true statement. They do miss him.
So another big story this week was that Seth Rollins was announced as the cover boy for WWE 2K18. It dropped on Monday, and with it, they dropped a really, really, really sweet trailer. I'm sure they made the WWE archivist cry just a little bit from the trailer.
They burnt some stuff. They smashed some stuff.
They burned down the warehouse.
They basically burnt down the whole trailer is awesome. It's up on the WWE 2K Twitter and their YouTube channel. Yeah, it's an awesome commercial. He goes through, burns down the warehouse. He smashes all the items in there from Ric Flair, burns Ric Flair's robe, smashes through the Mick Foley stuff, and you see the Undertaker stuff. And yeah, it's a really well done commercial. And the trailer is awesome. The video game is awesome. It comes out on October 17th. We'll have updates as we go, because, you know, I'm a big WWE 2K person, and as you can tell by the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RockRadioShow, and what we do on Tuesday nights. So, more content, more great stuff coming with WWE 2K18, so we'll have you covered here on the Rack every Thursday night. But the trailer's awesome. So yeah, that's all I gotta say about that.
And it made Seth Rollins look positively awesome.
It did.
Not that he needed a lot of help, but yeah.
It would be great if that character was actually on the television.
Well, I feel like it kind of is and it kind of isn't, you know? It's like that's kind of what he was when he first came back. Like, the deposed, I don't want to say prince because that's not the right word, but that's what it feels like, where he's coming back and he's just, like, burning everything that matters to WWE because he's just bitter.
Oh, yeah, but if he actually did it for real, it would be awesome.
Oh, it would be completely awesome. It kind of takes him back to his Shield days, but not, which is okay, bye, everybody. Quick note for the Teen Choice Awards, because we have no transitions tonight. Sasha Banks, John Cena, and Total Bellas are all up for awards, so please go vote for your favorites. I'm sure they very much like to win, and I think we'd like them to win as well.
That would be awesome if they would win, even though a couple are against each other. The Bellas are up for female athletes, so Sasha, they're also up for Total Bellas. John Cena's up for male athlete. You go on social media, and there's some hashtags you can use. It's all on their social medias to explain how to do it. But yeah, go out there, vote for them. Because it'd be cool if they walked away with a couple of awards, because more awards are good for them, because they need it, especially Sasha. It's good that Sasha's getting some recognition out of all this.
Yes. Yes, definitely good for Sasha. And speaking of Sasha, there's going to be a women's tournament.
Yeah, we've been talking about the Mae Young Classic for a few weeks now, and they've added some people.
They have added some people. Last week they announced that Toni Storm, Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, and Princessa Suheet, sorry if I said your name wrong, are all announced for the show. Now, this week they announced 5 new names. I believe it was actually today.
Today they put them out, which is good for us because we're live tonight. So adding content on a Thursday is always good.
We like news. We so like news. Third generation wrestler Tessa Blanchard, Abby Lath,
which is the former Kimberly.
They renamed Kimberly?
Kimberly, yeah. She's Abby Lath now.
I liked Kimberly better.
I think a lot of people like Kimberly better, but they can trademark this name.
Stupid trademarks. Tenera Conti, Jazzy Gabbert, and Kavita Devi.
Jazzy Gabbert is one big woman. She's one big Amazon. And
well,
she should
do well then.
She could wreck some people.
Well, I look forward to seeing that.
So, yeah, she's been in Impact Wrestling before. She has a small stint there, but she could wreck some people.
So far, just based on who they've announced, I'm digging this. I'm 100% digging this.
And what it is in this whole tournament, it's a wide range of talent. It's not just the tip. It's not just the same people look the same and are about the same size. Everyone has something different.
No, it's very much like the Cruiserweight tournament where they're pulling from all over the world. They're bringing in people from different countries, from different disciplines. You have people that can do martial arts. You have people that can do wrestling. You're getting a really good diverse mix into this tournament, which is going to make it really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Should be really awesome.
So, congratulations, ladies. Looking forward to watching it. And we'll keep you posted as more entrants come down the pike. And while we're going to transition away from WWE to Impact Wrestling real quick, because we do have one story for them before we get to Angelina Love here after the break. And that is that Alberto Patron announced that his father, who I'd like to affectionately call Papa Patron, Don Carrasas, will be walking him to ringside at Slammiversary. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Impact and him announced today that he'll be in his corner for Slammiversary for his big title match against the one and only Bobby Lashley. It's a unification match for the GFW and Impact Wrestling titles, and we'll have a true Impact World Champion when it's all said and done, when Bobby Lashley and Alberto El Patron battle. Should be awesome.
I can't wait.
Should be really, really awesome.
I can't wait. That's going to be exciting. But that does it for the news right here on The Rack, brought to you by Gerwig.net. When we come back, we have the queen for you. That's right. Angelina Love will be joining us, where we will talk to her all about Slammiversary 15. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of what I'm there for. And I have a unique set of skills, you know, not to sound like Liam Neeson here in Taken, but I have a unique set of skills that nobody else has here. Because now I can wrestle and I can fight a little bit, but also, too, I can use my brain and my vast legal experience to provide them with some, you know, case studies and so forth and legal advice to try and get Brooke out of this whole jam, hopefully.
And I definitely hope you can, and there's nothing wrong with bragging about a unique set of skills. Trust me, we do it all the time. And I have to ask, just because he's a really good friend of ours, I'm sure you've met Matt Goldberg, the director of Terrified. I'm just curious if maybe at some point you're going to talk to him about possibly doing a documentary on your journey at all.
Gosh, I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that, but I would love to do that. Get him in touch with me, because I'd love to sit down and talk about that. My God, that could be a great Lifetime original series or something like that, the journey of Joseph Park. I'm kind of digging that.
Yeah, we will, you know what, we'll talk to him right after we do the interview, and we will definitely get him in touch with you, because I think that would be amazing.
Great.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, that'd be a great ABC after-school special or a Lifetime original series or you know, that thing, you know, it could be great.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Joining us right now is a 6-time Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion, but now shining in her new role as the mother to an adorable baby boy. Please welcome to the show, Angelina Love. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. So excited to be talking to you today. So we were just talking about your son before we started doing this. How is motherhood treating you?
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely the greatest thing ever. It definitely makes life a little bit more hectic. But I mean, my son is just there's no greater gift than your child. And he is just, we've been blessed with the most happy, go lucky, calm, cool, collected sweetheart of a baby boy. And he's just the greatest part of my life.
How has that affected wrestling in terms of having your son in wrestling?
It hasn't really. The only thing is that, like, we'll bring him to shows sometimes and we'll have to have, somebody help take care of him when, or if Wes and I are, or Davey or I are on the same show, you know, I'll watch David while Davey wrestles his match. And then when I wrestle, you know, Davey will watch him. So, but usually there's a lot of people, he's so precious and everyone just kind of naturally gravitates towards him. So a lot of people like want to hold him or want to help or want to hang out with him while we're busy. So, it's worked out. And then when we go to TV, he usually stays at, you know, either one of the grandparents' house and they watch him while we're gone. Cause those are pretty long days.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So they got lots of grandparent time too.
That's awesome. Was it an exciting moment for you to finally get back in the ring with Impact Wrestling after giving birth to your son?
It was, yeah. I actually returned to wrestling. I was doing independent shows 3 months after I gave birth. And then I was back at Impact probably when David was about 10 months old. It was definitely definitely fun to come back. And, you know, there's been a couple times where I've left and come back. But, you know, this one was for, like, a really good reason. And, you know, it's cool to be able to have him watch what Mommy and Daddy do.
How does this role differ from what you were doing with the Beautiful People? As you were doing the villain role before with the Beautiful People, but now you're with your husband. Is it similar? Is it different?
Well, it's both. For some reason, I'm just really good at villain roles. I'm not sure why. The Beautiful People was very showy, very charactery, very mean girl, kind of, you know, like high school bitchy kind of thing. This is more just violent. So as vicious as I was, you know, as Angelina Love leaving the Beautiful People, this is more like, it's not so fluffy. It's not so charactery. It's more sexual. It's more violent. It's almost like a more dangerous, more adult version of what I've done before.
And as we've seen on Impact, airing Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Pop, this whole rivalry between yourself and Alicia Edwards, the wife of Eddie Edwards, has gone to a really personal and physical level, where the two of you can barely be in the same room with each other without wanting to tear into one another. Are you enjoying having more of a personal rivalry, or is it more difficult sometimes because it is so personal?
I mean, emotionally it's difficult because it's personal, but, you know, I think that's something that draws the fans in, is it's not just like some random thing and some random thing kind of thrown together for whatever sake. You know what I mean? This is very real. There's a ton of, you know, personal emotion behind it. And I think it's also something different. And I think that's what's making everybody, you know, really, really, really be interested in it.
Right. Obviously, the personal history between your husband and Eddie ties in as well, as they were a successful tag team, but now they are not. It's sort of all ties together in the culmination of this feud.
Best friends, better rivals.
Absolutely. Now, we're headed into Slammiversary on July 2nd, and you are going into Full Metal Mayhem. How do you prepare for something like that?
Talk to my husband. because that's, you know, I'm all about stepping out of my comfort zone, you know, stepping outside the box. and this is definitely something, you know, like when I did the last Knockout Standing match against Gail, I think it was at Hardcore Justice in 2014. That was definitely something that was outside of my norm. But I really enjoy that because I like to be tested and to do something different too. So this is really exciting because it's like maximum emotion with the maximum violence, you know, and just with how this feud has been going. You know, and in wrestling too, you have to evolve, you have to do something different. And there's never been an intergender Full Metal Mayhem match before. So, you know, I've never done anything Full Metal Mayhem, and I'm sure Alicia hasn't either. So, you know, I got to study, I got to learn from my husband, I got to, you know, listen to what he says and what he knows, because he's done it before. And I look forward to it. It's going to be brutal and it's going to be awesome. And, you know, everybody needs to watch this match.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I always love when people make steps forward and history is being made. Women are getting to do the same thing as the boys now, and that's awesome. I feel like we should have the same opportunities as the men.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, granted, I feel like there's some things that, you know, women probably shouldn't do. Like, I mean, it's not like I would, you know, I think I feel okay about this intergender Full Metal Mayhem because it is intergender. You know, I think it would be ridiculous if it was like Angelina Love versus Eddie Edwards, Full Metal Mayhem at Slammiversary, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that may not be so good.
Right, so the fact that we kind of, you know, have it evened out, you know, it makes sense.
After Full Metal Mayhem, once you're victorious, are you looking forward to going after the Knockouts Championship again?
I would love to, absolutely, yeah. Because I'm a record setter, and nobody's won it 7 times, so yeah, I would absolutely love to do that. Division for a long time, and there's a lot of girls who are in this division now that I've actually never wrestled before. And have kind of stepped in to do their thing. So, you know, I always have to remind all of my peers who run things around here.
I remember your runs as Knockouts champion being absolutely phenomenal, and I would love to see you go for it again.
Well, you know what? I've actually never wrestled Rosemary before, and I kind of like the idea of, like, the creepy versus the violent. I think that would be really cool. Sienna would be fun. Laurel, whenever she stops hitting the bottle, I'm sure we could do something there as well. but yeah, I think I could definitely have some fun with Rosemary.
Definitely looking forward to that. Maybe you guys could do a Full Metal Mayhem of your own.
I mean, I'm sure she'd be down for it.
Looking back at your time with the Beautiful People, what do you think of people imitating what you and Velvet were doing at the time?
Well, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, as we know. You know, and it's cool because, well, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, you know, you're protective of your thing. It's your baby. You know what I mean? It's who you are. It's what you do. But it's also like, it is flattering because it's like, if people are imitating it, it's because they like it. They're watching it. They think it works. So they would want to try to use it for themselves to have something that works. You know, and it was fun. It was entertaining. Like, I mean, I'm sure if I was a little girl or somebody else watching the show and saw that, I'd be like, yeah, I want to be like that. That looks fun, you know? So, it's definitely a very flattering thing. You know, Velvet and I and Madison as well, we worked our butts off, you know, and we made that a very historical stable. And that really, you know, nobody can ever take that away from us. And that's something that I'm so incredibly proud of. And yeah, it's not an insult for, you know, somebody to want to do something like that too. But, you know, there's only one original.
There's only one original, and you guys definitely did it the best. I remember when you guys first formed it, it was this mind-blowing thing to me, and I don't recall anyone else doing anything like it before. I remember sitting there watching it and going, this is cool and fresh and just really awesome. At that point in time, it gave a lot of people a different perspective on women's wrestling.
And then last time we were starting the Knockouts division too, so there was a whole huge, I guess I can use the word revolution, with women's wrestling at that time. You know, because the Knockouts division was becoming a really big thing. And, you know, Velvet and I knew we wanted to do something different because, you know, every other girl in the division was kind of just doing their own singular one-person character. And, you know, we had similar personalities, similar sense of humor, similar sense of sarcasm, the way that we dressed in the ring when we wrestled was similar. You know, we loved to be dolled up and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we traveled together on the road and, you know, we were extremely close. So we were like, you know, we should do something together. Like everybody else is like doing their own thing. What about doing something like, you know, as a tag team or a stable or something? And we pitched it and they let us try it and then, you know, pretty much gave us the ball and let us run with it. So we were really, really grateful for that because it was the most fun time I've had in wrestling.
You have been off and on with Impact Wrestling for the last 10 years, which celebrates 15 years on July 2nd at Slammiversary on pay-per-view. Would you say winning the title was your most favorite memory while being with Impact Wrestling, or do you have others?
I would love to say that the first time I won the Knockouts title was a favorite memory, but I was unconscious, so I don't really remember it. I only remember watching it on YouTube, but yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favorite opponent that sort of stands out to you?
No, and I'm really bad at the favorites game because like, I don't have a favorite, I have one favorite color, I don't have one favorite person, I don't have one favorite food. Like, I always like a lot of things. So, you know, I feel like every girl that I have feuded with has brought out something different in me. You know, like Kong, for instance, was one of my favorite people to feud with. Taylor Wilde, you know, we trained together at Squared Circle in Toronto under Rob Fuego. So being able to, you know, go on the road and we did house shows together and pay-per-views and, you know, we wrestled in the UK and we did everything against each other. And it's so cool because it was like, you know, we were just two girls that came from a training school in Toronto. We were in WWE developmental together as well too. So, you know, Gail's always, you know, made me step up my game and, you know, Victoria, you know, when I got released from WWE, I remember doing an interview and they asked me, you know, who did you not get a chance to wrestle that you've always wanted to wrestle that was in WWE? And I said, you know, Trish and Victoria. And I was her first feud when she came to TNA. So that was really fun. And I'd say the hardest one was like against Velvet, because I question a lot of times if that was something that people actually wanted to see because they liked us so much together, you know, and it was personally hard for us too, you know. No matter what we were going through, because we're girls, we're catty. but yeah, I feel like, you know, feuding with all these different people brought out all different kinds of aspects for me. So I like everybody in their own right.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like a different day sort of thing, as it varies from day to day, as you think of different things, when in different moods. So today your favorite may be this, and tomorrow your favorite may be that. There's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Transitioning away from wrestling, we follow you on social media, and one thing we've learned is that you've gone back to school. How do you find time to manage everything that's going on in your life with that super busy schedule of yours? I mean, you have to be superwoman.
Well, if you've seen the schedule that my husband runs, it's pretty crazy. So I knew that, like, everybody should know that, like, wrestling doesn't last forever, and especially as a female, you only want to do this to your body for so long.
Right.
And, you know, obviously if you're going to be pregnant and having kids and stuff, or especially when you're pregnant, obviously you can't wrestle. But, and if you get hurt and that's like your one source of income, like I've been there and it's like, you got to have other things going, you know? So I'm kind of starting at the bottom, but you got to start somewhere. You know, so I'm taking a psychology class right now as a prerequisite. I'd like to go to nursing school one day and I would like to work like in the cosmetic, industry. I'd like to be a cosmetic injector. I think that would be really fun. I love that whole business. So that's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of schooling, but you know, I can do it. Like my son, when he naps, I get on my iPad and I read my chapters and I pretty much get a lot of stuff done when he's napping. I don't get a chance to catch up on any sleep when he's napping, but that's when I'll usually hunker down and do something like read or take my exams or do whatever I need to do schoolwork wise, because that's when I have the most quiet time. So
that's awesome, and that's just so great. I think you should go for your own practice.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that.
I know you're busy, but I have to know because I'm curious. It's sort of, and this is sort of our stock standard question that we ask everyone. I know you said you don't get a lot of time off, but when you do, what do you like to do on your day off?
Well, that would be a day I'd probably catch up on some rest. I mean, I work out, and I need me time, because a lot of times when, you know, you're working, you're a mother, you're going to school, you're traveling, you know, you're spread pretty thin. So I think it's important to just invest time in me and what I need to do to take any stress off my own shoulders. If I want to go for a massage or go see the chiropractor or go to the mall or see any friends or just catch up on anything. You know, if I was in Florida, I'd go to the beach and relax or go on a dolphin cruise or something. So just something where I know that I can take any kind of stress off myself and just invest in me. That's what I would do all day long.
I would love to hit the beach right now. It's pouring rain here. I would just love to get out of here and go to the beach. It would be so fantastic. Everyone, catch Impact Wrestling Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on Pop TV and catch Angelina Love in action as she teams with her husband, Davey Richards, to take on Eddie and Alicia Edwards on July 2nd at Slammiversary, which you can see only on pay-per-view. Angelina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Once again, thanks so much to Angelina. Everybody, stay tuned, because when we come back, We are going to be breaking down WWE Money in the Bank. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and we'll talk all about the controversy. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwenzeken. Wendik.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendijk.
Yes.
Nieuwendijk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt. I'm mad.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Messier. Fucking lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till he gets to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borcue.
Bjork? Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel Bure. What? How did they have his mouth?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh my god.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Joe.
All right, we'll just sack it on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
You know, I got along with Naomi really, really well. Me and her were always buddy-buddy. Down there, God, who did I would, there would be like the same crew of people we would drive to the shows. And I got to think of like their new names now, you know, their new work names. We had Damian Sandow and I were really close. He's hilarious. He's awesome. I think he's doing great too. Sheamus, when he was down there, I mean, we used to ride the shows together. It's amazing to see the difference and how much people grow in that business still. And I'm very happy for the ones who get to make it and experience such a good quality that they have.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Gail Kim, TNA Knockout, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Money, 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 money.
Money, 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 money
back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And, well, if you're just joining us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a second, go check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com. They're posting amazing stuff all the time. You should go totally check it out when you get a second. And if you just tuned in, well, you just missed our interview with Angelina Love. It will be up on the archives tomorrow. But, well, gotta let you know that you can still check out Slammiversary. You haven't missed that. It will be live on pay-per-view Sunday, July 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So don't want to miss that because it's going to be epic. Just saying.
And next week, we will do a mini preview of it as well during our five-year show.
Yes. Yes, we will. 5 years. God, has it really been 5 years?
It is 5 years. And so we just heard from the break, and we'll get into Money in the Bank here in 1 second. As I've been playing teasers and commercials all for the last, you know, week or so, the last few weeks, it was weird going back and listening to the Maxine interview because it was one of our first interviews we did back in October of 2012. Yes, I said 2012. Again, 5 years. It's been a long time since we've been doing the show. And it was one of our first big interviews and one of our most listened to interviews. So it was like, really cool to go back and actually listen to it because it's been about 4.5 years since I've actually heard it. So, yeah, cool. Go check them all out, RackRadioShow.com. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. If you missed the Angelina Love interview, it'll be up there as well.
Because we did Trish and we did DDP.
And then we did Christopher Daniels. And then we did Maxine.
We did, like, Daniels, Maxine, and Adam Pierce, like, all right there together.
And the most forgotten interview that we've ever done, Brian Williams from THQ.
Poor Brian.
Because he got attached to the Adam Pierce interview. So it was like, oh, yeah, and Brian Williams. Anyway, that's a stroll down memory lane, and we'll talk more about 5 years next week on the show.
Yes, and we'll tell you all about it. So, you know, if you have questions for us, it's Ask the Rack. Send them in. You can tweet them to us. You can tumble them to us. You can email them to us. And, well, we'll even give you a phone number if you want to do a call-in question. We're happy to do that as well. We'll tell you all about that at the end of the show where you can send all your stuff. But, yes, please send us questions. We're happy to answer anything about the show's history, about wrestling, whatever you want to know. Just keep in mind, if you send a Smart Alex question, you're going to get a Smart Alex answer.
Ask the Rack, that's dangerous? Yes, it's very dangerous, but we do it twice a year. So send your questions. As she mentioned, you can call them in. It's 267-297-1397. So throw out the number now if you'd like to leave a voicemail and you want to ask a question that way. If you're brave enough, by all means, you can do it. If not, you can email them, Facebook them, tweet us. Yes, we could end up with some smart-ass questions, so if you want to be a smart-ass and send us a question, please, by all means, you can send us smart-ass questions.
We've been doing this 5 years. Trust me, smart-ass questions do not scare us
And I know who you are, so if you want to be a smart-ass and send some questions in, by all means, you can send some smart-ass questions in.
Is it the intern or is it the boss?
I believe it's the boss.
Hi, boss! Hey!
Just saying.
Our boss, everybody. He's in our chat right now. Say hi!
I believe so. He'll yell at me.
Yes, we have a boss. We do. We have a boss. He's kind of like over all of WTR because it's his baby. It's his thing. And he graciously lets us air our show on his network. So, hi, boss!
And we can't say, believe it's the boss. Could be the intern.
If it's the intern, sit down.
Yeah. But the way he was typing, I don't remember the intern ever using crazy cats. That's just me.
Intern, where's our stuff? If it's you, where's our stuff?
Anyway.
We need it. We kind of really do need it. Just saying. Anyway, WWE Money in the Bank.
All right, I'm just going to lay this up. It was the Women's Money in the Bank. Tamina, Carmella, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Natalya, go.
What the crap? Okay, all right. I'm going to preface this. Because we're going to mix SmackDown in with this, so we're doing the SmackDown Rundown and SmackDown Throwdown and Shut Up and Money in the Bank together. The ending of this match, because the match itself was fine, everything was fine, is the ending that everybody's talking about. The ending did its job because everybody is talking about it. Everybody's like livid about it. It's been the topic of social media for the last week since it happened. So in that aspect, the finish works because everybody's talking about it. It was the perfect lead into SmackDown. It was the focus of SmackDown of what is Daniel Bryan going to do about this finish. What was the finish, you might ask? The ring is clear. Carmella's in the ring. She's laying the ring. James Ellsworth gets rid of Becky Lynch. But Carmella's down. She can't get up the ladder. What are they supposed to do? So before anybody else can get in the ring, James Ellsworth climbs the ladder with the cheers of the crowd, grabs the briefcase, and drops it to Carmella, thus ending the match. The refs argue about it, and James Ellsworth announces Carmella as the winner. People lost their shit over this. I'm just gonna say it. I lost my shit over this. Was not happy about this at all. I have been waiting, and I'm gonna tell you why I was not happy. I have been waiting for however long Money in the Bank has been going on, since its inception, for a women's Money in the Bank. So literal years I've been waiting for the women to finally get one.
At least a decade.
At least a decade. And every year it's like, oh, well, maybe they're going to do the girls this year. Nope. It's always the guys. So think about that. You've been sitting there waiting for a thing for a decade. You finally get it. You're super excited about it. This was one of the only matches on this entire show that I wanted to see. And they opened with it. So I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm totally good. They're opening with this match. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. The girls are going to go out there. They burn the house down. They gave them 12 minutes.
13.
13 minutes. Same difference. A minute here or there doesn't do anything. Sweet. And they had a guy grab the briefcase. Like, it's one thing if James Ellsworth had run interference and Carmella had climbed the ladder and she had gotten the briefcase, like, I would have been completely fine with that. But to me, after waiting a decade, it is such a slap in the face, even now, to have a man climb the ladder, grab the briefcase for the women's Money in the Bank, and hand it to a woman. I feel like that's a metaphor for this entire, like, women's revolution. Like, the powers that be in WWE are like, here, we're gonna hand this to you now. After making you wait so long, because, you know, you don't get anything without a man in this company deeming it. Like, it was so, it just felt, in that moment, it felt so insulting. So insulting. It really, really, really did. Because it's like, what the crap? Really? That's how you're going to end this? And I mean, like I said, the finish was super effective because everybody was talking about it. But there was an incredible amount of backlash over this finish. It was not positive attention they got from it. A lot of people were livid about it. Because again, a lot of people were like me. They've been waiting at least a decade to see this happen. We get it. They give them 13 minutes and a man wins it. What the hell? Like, I had to actually get up and walk away for a second because it's just like, this is BS. This is absolute BS. These girls have busted their butt. They put the time in. They put the effort in. And they get screwed. That's what it felt like. Match itself was fine. They went out there. They did their thing. They really never hit fourth gear in this match, at least to me. But they really did really, really, really well with it. There were a couple moments where they struggled with the ladder just because the ladders were bigger than some of them. Like Carmella. Bless her. She couldn't quite pick the ladder up at one point. But she tried. She tried. That was the point. Anyway, I'm done ranting. What were your thoughts?
So, I echo all her sentiments. Number two, the match never really got going. You gave them 13 minutes. The match should have got 20 minutes on the show. It really should have, because you have five women, and they've all should have got a spotlight to show. The only person who really stood out in this matchup was Charlotte when she did her big twisting moonsault onto Natty and Tamina.
That was pretty.
It was very pretty. But that felt like what it was going to be the chain of events. Everyone gets a big spot. Everyone's, you know, taking all the risk and going all out. And when they went on SmackDown a couple weeks ago and they did the whole big angle, everyone got their moment. So it was like, okay, you start with the moonsault and everyone gets a big moment. And then you have all the girls down and then they're fighting and they're fighting their way back into the ring and going after the belt. So it makes it a real struggle. But you didn't get any of that. You got a half a match and you got the finish you got that caused so much controversy. And to me, that's not effective where you're trying to create a historical, from a historical moment's point of view. You did not create the history you wanted. You got people to talk, but you got people complaining. And I don't know if you book a show to get people complaining, especially when there's been a lot of complaints about your show lately.
Well, I think what's even more insulting is that essentially they're going to do Money in the Bank 2.0 next week on SmackDown, which is they're going to read. The result of this was on SmackDown was everybody yelled at Daniel Bryan for the most of the show. Daniel Bryan came out and basically said, not going to let it end like this. It's BS. He stripped Carmella of the briefcase. And they're going to redo the Women's Money in the Bank next week on SmackDown, which it's like, okay, yay, you're going to redo it, but that seems really crappy to me, because it's like, why couldn't you have just booked it right the first time?
You want to know what a historical moment would have been?
Her cashing in.
No. the smallest woman in the match winning, and that's Carmella. That would have been historic on its own. You didn't need James Ellsworth.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's one thing, like I said, it's one thing if Ellsworth had run interference, which he did. Everybody does that Money in the Bank. And they made that point, is that there's always interference and Money in the Bank. Which, that's true. Somebody always gets involved.
From everything from ladder matches to Money in the Bank, there's always interference. It all started way back when Diesel got involved in the first ladder match. It was what they call the first ladder match on pay-per-view, where Diesel interfered and got tossed out of the match. So there's been interference from the get-go in ladder matches.
So it's like, it's one thing if he had kind of kept the girls away from the ladder while Carmella scurried up the ladder. Like, that's using the numbers game, because her whole speech on Tuesday, which she absolutely killed it, by the way.
She was fantastic.
She owned the hell out of that promo, was that she was smarter than everybody. She's not the biggest, she's not the strongest, she doesn't have the pedigree, but by God, she's smarter than everybody. And that's true. She had Ellsworth, and she used Ellsworth to her benefit. But it's just, it's like the way that they did this, it's like, no, come on. Because now that moment, that history-defining moment of the first woman winning the Money in the Bank briefcase is going to be from SmackDown. It's not going to be from the pay-per-view. It's going to be from SmackDown. And I think I would have had, just thinking about the finish, it would have been a little bit easier to swallow this if every other match on this entire card didn't have some kind of shenanigans in it. Almost every match on this card had shenanigans. Except for the main event. So it's like, okay, this match had shenanigans in it, everything else goes as normal. No, everything was like, what the crap is going on? Like, they just literally said, okay, we're just going to do whatever screwy finish we can, because why not? But, I mean, it's like, I'm completely fine with Carmella winning. I actually like the idea of Carmella winning, because, to me, she has Ellsworth. So she can use Ellsworth. We said it last week that she was really the most interesting candidate to win the match, because of all the stuff that you can do with Ellsworth. But there's a difference between Carmella winning and Ellsworth grabbing the briefcase for her, technically winning the match, and then dropping it to her. That makes Carmella look so, so weak, because she had to have him get it for her. It's like, it's one thing for her to hide behind him, it's one thing for her to use him to her advantage, but the fact that he has to get it for her, she can't get it on her own, sends the wrong message. The completely wrong message. At least to me. It's like, you're all about women's empowerment and the women's movement and the revolution and they're superstars now and all this stuff. This match, to me, felt like it took it right back to before that revolution. It just felt like a huge slap in the face.
Can I point out some cool spots in the thing?
Yes.
Girls, when the briefcase is up there, you just can't jump for it. You need a ladder. I loved how Tamina played protector of the briefcase space in the ring. It was cool.
And can we talk about how badass Tamina was in this match?
She was good at the beginning. She had some good moments. And then the moment where Becky and Natty had the ladder. No, it's my ladder. No, my ladder. My ladder. Give me a ladder.
Then they start smacking each other with the ladder. It was awesome. Like, the match on its own was fine. I was enjoying the match up until the finish. And then the finish was just like, no. And that's the problem with this match. Is nobody's going to necessarily remember a lot of the spots in the match, except for maybe the Charlotte's moonsault. I think that's the one other really, really big high spot, everybody's going to talk about the finish. So the whole thing is just, like, marred. It's like, why couldn't you just, you know, let Carmella win on her own? Because mark my words, Tuesday, that's what's going to happen. Because Ellsworth is barred from ringside. Carmella's going to figure out a way to get that briefcase back.
I get this feeling, like, I could see them doing a screwy finish on SmackDown. And it takes me back to, I think it was King of the Ring 2000? 2001? I forget the year. I think it may have been 2000. When it was the McMahons. No, it was 99 then. Yeah, it was the McMahons versus Austin. And, like, the briefcase lowered. It raised up when Austin went to go after the belt and lowered when the McMahons would get it. And I could see them, like Ellsworth playing with the mechanics and lowering the briefcase for her. I could see them doing something stupid like that.
Then you better be ready to go live.
There you go.
Because I'm going to get on the air and I'm going to rant. I don't want a scurry finish to the one on SmackDown. I want it to be legit. I want it to be Carmella or whoever grabs the briefcase on their own with minimal interference, and that's it. I don't want a scurry finish to this. I want whoever wins it, they better win clean-ish. Like, you know, you have somebody running offense, that's fine.
Defense.
Or somebody running defense, that's fine. But, you know, it's like, ultimately, they need to do the work. I want a clean finish to this. I really, really, really do. I need a clean finish to this. Because if we get another match, and it's another screwy finish, I'm done.
we might have a live SmackDown Throwdown.
We may have a live SmackDown Throwdown in which Lindsay gets on the air and rants. And alcohol will probably be involved, just so everybody's aware.
So you can root for a really cool finish or a really awful finish and, you know, determine what you want. So anyway, pick-wise, I went with Becky, you went with Carmella, and the 8-ball in video game with Natty.
Aha!
So, up next, The New Day versus The Usos. Thoughts?
This was a really, really good match, up until the end. I feel like we're going to be saying that a lot tonight. It's a great match, till the end.
I warned you about the finish.
I know, but in my heart, I had to root for my boys.
Even though I picked the Usos, I predicted the finish. I told you what it would happen.
Yeah, I know you did. But I have to root for my boys. You stole my line. You wrote my line. You dick.
I did. I wrote it hard. Wrote it strong. But this was a good match. Again, the finish happened because it's the start of the program.
And I think part of what made this finish worse was that everybody still was a little bitter about what had just happened. So we were all just kind of like, screw this. Two matches in. Like, nope, screw this. Nope.
JBL made a point where, you know, the Usos stopped making jokes and there's about them making money. But who is making the most money these days from tag teams? Who?
New Day.
And who's the jokesters?
Usos. I mean, it's like, it's true. New Day. Although I think Enzo and Cass were right up there too before, you know.
No, I'm talking about the jokesters are New Day. They have all the jokes merchandise. They're the jokesters. They're the entertainment. And they're making the most money. The Usos not making the most money, but they have the belts. So it was an awful comment by JBL.
Yeah.
But that's JBL. Anyway, good false finishes. The trust fall by Kofi was cool. There was a spot where it looked like the referee hit three.
Yeah.
There really was, but it was broken up. It was like 2.9.
Absolute last second.
2.999999.
That ham was skimming the mat when that got broken up.
But the New Day won, but the Usos retained the belts.
I'll take the points.
Because the Usos are like, yep, we're going to get counted out. Because of reasons. We want our belts.
Which will lead to a rematch.
It may be. Maybe, because on SmackDown, it's the Hype Bros versus the Usos. And if the Hype Bros win, they get a shot at the tag titles. New Day won.
Omega's going,
could. He could. Mojo could get a belt at some point. That would be awesome for him. And Omega's team would then get somewhere. But, you know, probably not.
Probably not.
Anyway, I picked Usos. You picked New Day. Video Game and Apol picked New Day. Speaking of Hype Bros, me and you picked the Hype Bros on the pre-show. We did not have an 8-ball video game for that one.
But we got it right.
We did get it right, because that was kind of obvious. Anyway, up next on the pay-per-view, by the way, this is The Rack, here at the top of the hour, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey Day at Instagram.com/MBG1211, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsward on the Twitter. Lana versus Naomi for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
You know, if you really want to sell Lana, might be a good thought to not have the commentators sitting there through the majority of the match going, wait, what? Lana can wrestle?
So what?
Like that, they were so stunned by the fact that Lana could work, that Lana could wrestle. I'm like, you know, if you really want to like make her impactful and not make her into more of a joke, because she's kind of a joke right now, just from the whole appearance, you put her, you basically, you know, emphasize her wrestling and her fighting skills because she pulled her finishing move in a dress.
Yeah. So it would be okay if you're surprised in the first couple minutes of how she, you know, oh my God, look at her go. But then you talk about how impressive she is. Don't be surprised the entire time.
Yeah.
You put over the impressiveness. Be surprised because you're supposed to be surprised because you don't know anything about her wrestling. So surprise early, but then you put over the fact that she's being impressive. Like, the suplexes into the ropes were impressive. Negative. Here's the big negative. They kicked out of her finish.
Yeah. On the first shot.
First time she hits the finish, Naomi kicks out. You just killed her finish in one match. She's had one match and you've killed the finish. Not the smartest booking idea in the world. That's just me.
Also, I just want to say to everybody that was complaining about this match, the fact that this match was on the show, you realize that if this match hadn't have happened, that Naomi probably would not have ended up on the show, or she would have been shown very briefly during or after the Women's Money in the Bank.
She would awkwardly be watching the video screen.
Backstage.
Yeah. Those awkward video shots.
And the women's title, which, you know, had the briefcase the whole briefcasing that they were in contention for, the women's title wouldn't have been on the show. So this match happened to get Naomi and the women's title on the show. Was it also there to get Lana there on the show? Yes, they debuted Lana on the show against Naomi.
Yes, it did.
But it was mainly to get Naomi and the belt on the show. So everybody that is complaining about this match, everybody that is saying that, oh, Lana didn't deserve it, Lana didn't have a chance. Okay, we all knew that. It was more, let's get Naomi on the show so that way she's there, she's seen, everybody can cheer for her, they can be super impressed, they get to see the title, we can have the Money in the Bank winner walk out at the end, which is what they had happen. Yet Carmella and Ellsworth come out, they distracted Lana, which cost her the match, to end the match. So yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people complaining about how this match like shouldn't have happened. And it's like, okay, but if you realize if this match did not happen, Naomi probably would not have gotten on the show.
Naomi wins via tap out via her submission maneuver, which has no name. We had Naomi, so did the video game, but 8-Ball went with Lana.
But just side note, Lana, girl, good for showing. Very good for showing. Very impressed by Lana. She's got some work she's got to do, but I think the more experience she gets, the better she's going to get. It's a question of hitting her rhythm and just settling down into her rhythm. But once she gets going, yeah, buddy. She's not the best, but she'll get better. She's a lot better than what she was.
You know what this show needed?
What?
A miracle. And it sort of got one with the debut of Mike and Maria Kanellis. The First Lady of SmackDown Live has returned to WWE.
One, very excited for Maria.
To show the power of love. Then so what's your number two?
I think the best part of this was JBL sitting there utterly horrified going, he took her last name. Like, he looked like he was going to be physically ill. It was hilarious. I mean, this was what it was. I got to give it a chance. I got to see. When I first initially saw it, I was so done at this point with the show. That I was like, Nope. So I have to see it again when I'm not utterly pissed off to give this really a chance.
I think it'll be cool. I think Maria will be a good manager for Mike. And I think Mike will do well in this role. Mike is very talented, as he showed in his days in Impact Wrestling. And I think they'll have good success because Maria has proved tenfold from a verbal standpoint since leaving WWE. So this will be cool. I want to see where it goes. It has some potential because if you're looking for people to get a reaction, Maria knows how to get a reaction from people.
And Maria has improved tenfold since her last WWE run. She's really settled in. She's really dedicated herself to her craft. And she's come into her own. I'm excited for her to go into the women's division. I'm hoping she's going to wrestle. I don't know if she will or not, but I'm really hoping that she's going to wrestle because I would love to see her give some of those girls a run for their money and for her to get the legit shot she never got the first go round because she was one of those girls that was really underappreciated the first time, was a joke, was never taken seriously, never got a shot at the title, always kind of got pushed to the bottom. So now she's found herself, she's found a role that she's comfortable in, and I want to see her go for the belt. At some point. Not right away, but at some point.
I don't expect her to wrestle much early on, but
she's got to work her way into it.
She'll get to work her way into it, but she's going to be a person who can get some heat, which they will desperately need at some point.
She has the potential to be a top heel in that division, which is what they really kind of need at this point. I mean, the welcoming committee was good, and Natty was really trying, but Natty just, I think, can never get over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just Natty. So they need someone that can get over that hurdle, and Maria really could be that person, especially if they're not going to turn Charlotte heel.
Right.
So my only problem with this is that apparently they're breaking up Miz and Maryse because of this. And it's like, no. You keep Miz and Maryse together. Why? Because at some point you can have Maria and Mike versus Mike and Maryse.
All M's all the time.
M quad. Quad. Is that it? Quadded?
M to the fourth power.
There we go.
Anyway,
gotta give this a chance. That's all I gotta say. What's next?
Greg Gagne, Larry the Axe Henning, Sergeant Slaughter, Baron Von Raschke, Ric Flair, and of course, Bob Armstrong were at ringside for the...
Armstrong?
Wow, I did it again. Bob Warden. Like, I did that Sunday, too, for some reason. I don't know why I thought Armstrong. Anyway, Bob Orton were at ringside.
Because his arm is strong. Bob finally got his arm out of the cast, y'all. It only took him 40 years, but he finally got his arm out of the cast.
There you go.
Way to go, Bob. Way to go.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's in my head for some reason. Anyway, WWE title, Jinder Mahal, the champion, defends against Randy Orton. So this Sunday, I'll say it now. Randy is a good son. He got his father a Jinder for Father's Day.
He just tossed him right in his lap.
Yeah. Also, they worked over the right, when Jinder worked over the right knee, he actually put, or the left knee, and he worked on the right knee, he put the figure four on the right injured knee. That's what I'm trying to say. Unlike The Miz, who didn't do that last time.
Maybe he can only do it one way.
Maybe he can, but Jinder does the figure four better than Miz. That's a compliment for Jinder. That I don't give them out very often for him.
I mean, bless them, they tried. They really, really, really tried in this match.
I mean, the match was okay. It was, again, it's learning Jinder's offense. It's trying to buy Jinder's offense when you've been taught not to buy Jinder's offense for 7 years.
Yeah, we're still adjusting to this. It's a process. And I mean, to me, I feel like this feud could have been a lot better than what it was. It didn't help that Orton wasn't around for part of it. And then you have Randy, who's the very quiet, stealthy heel. And you have Jinder, who's trying to be that arg aggressive heel. But it's like, for whatever reason, they're not gelling together.
So basically you're saying I need to... Is that what you're telling me?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. By the way, congrats to Randy. He's doing a Seth Green movie here in the next few weeks. So congrats to him for being cast in that. I don't know. He'll be still around, but he's going to be doing the movie as well, so probably won't be working half shows. Anyway. I was trying to figure out a compliment for this match. It was all right. Randy went crazy afterwards after hitting the RKO. Sink Brothers with the foot on the rope. They got tossed. Then they go after Bob. Randy snaps, destroys the Sink Brothers on the table. RKO through the table. But then Jinder hit his move and put him out for the 1-2-3. I mean, it was fine. It was predictable.
I will say it makes Jinder look more legit by beating Randy Orton semi-clean like this.
By the way, I can confirm it's the intern.
Oh, it is the intern?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my stuff? Where is my stuff?
Because they brought up the direction where this is headed. Spoiler alert for people out there. Punjabi prison.
Oh, we're good people. What do we do to deserve that? Honestly, wasn't once enough. Like, poor Taker, he's going to have war flashbacks from that match.
Anyway, Jinder Mahal is still your WWE champion.
Again, the win over Randy helps. It helps to establish him. It helps to confirm him as a more legit champion. So, I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. I'm not upset by this at all. I felt a little bad for the Legends because they just kind of got flown in and they were there for that one match. And they had just kind of had to sit there and at one point have a very large man thrown in their laps.
And then Bob wanted to destroy him.
And then my whole thing was they grabbed hold of Bob, and I'm like, come on, Bob. Come on. Beat him up. You can do it. It's like, don't be standing there snarling. It's like, oh, wait. He's waiting for Randy. Aw, he's such a good dad.
Kali's going to show up as a referee.
Oh, my God, no. Please, no. But yeah, overall, this was not a bad show.
We still have matches.
Oh, that's right. We still have one more match.
Two more matches.
Oh, that's right. Two more matches. Yes. Two more matches.
So earlier in the evening, they had the Fashion Files. Fashion Vice. With a VHS tape that was outside their door and a mystery thing. We challenged them to a match. Awesome Fashion Files, by the way.
I love the Miami Vice throwback. Loved it. Also loved the Heyman phone.
The Heyman phone was really awesome.
Even Heyman marked for it.
Heyman did mark for it.
I liked it. I liked it. The Fashion Files, they go out, they get the tape, they plug it into the VCR, which they actually did have a VCR with a little TV, which I popped for. And you're sitting there and you're looking at it and they're like, yeah, you know, the guys are going, yeah, it was us. And it's these two dudes in the shadows and they've got their voices masked. And I'm sitting here and Rock and I were talking to each other and I went, oh my God, it's the Ascension. Because you could just look at the shadows and you could just tell. I was like, oh my God, it's the Ascension. And sure enough,
it was the Ascension.
It was the Ascension. And we had the Fashion Police versus the Ascension.
And Fandango won with a small package.
Like you do.
Okay, my point. Go ahead.
He's very good at, you know, executing with a small package.
Is he, though?
He likes to swing it about.
Okay. If you're going to put Breezango over, they should beat the Ascension with their...
finishing move?
With their actual finishing move, yeah. That would be smart.
Well, but, I mean, it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
A win on pay-per-view is good.
It is, but it would have been better if they hit their finish.
Fair enough.
Then we have our main event. Ladder match. Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, and the phenomenal AJ Styles. So everyone makes their entrance, but Baron Corbin, he was the last one to come out because he attacked Shinsuke Nakamura, who was taken to the back. And he got left laying because Baron was all up in Shinsuke's grill and just wanted him out of the match. So it was a five-man match for a majority of the matchup. And this was all about killing Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it was. It really was. They had enough of Kevin. They were just like, yeah, we're just going to kill you and be done with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Sammy, because he got rocket launched into the ladder and the ladder bent in half.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
Oh, it hurt him. He's hurting right now. I think he's dealing with like a back injury because of it.
I mean, this match made the pay-per-view better. It was kind of sort of the pay-per-view was just sort of up until this match. And then this helped to kind of put it over the top in terms of this was much better than pretty much everything else on the card, which again is slightly annoying for reasons that I went into when we started this. But I liked the dynamic that they had in this match. There was a nice mix of styles. I liked that they got Shinsuke out of the match early just to protect Shinsuke from doing anything excessively stupid, because it's Shinsuke, we all know.
Oh, yeah.
I liked how you just had Zayn and Owens going after each other. That's always a fun mix. But in the end...
Hold on, let's not get to the end yet.
Okay, fine.
There's a spot we need to talk about.
Which one? There were several.
The moment where we all go, AJ don't. AJ don't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that. That.
Where AJ's just hanging off the briefcase. Hanging.
He's dangling from the briefcase. And we're all sitting here going, oh, my God.
He's
going
to kill himself. Oh, my God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
And then he just lets go. And you see him fall, and you see him land on, like, his arm and the side of his face. But it was mainly the arm and the shoulder, and it's like, oh, crap, did he hurt himself? Did he break something? Because it looked like it really looked like he landed wrong.
He said on Talking Smack that he thought he may have was going to break a rib there, but he didn't. That's what it felt like when he landed.
I would believe it.
Yeah. By the way, after all the damage, including the suplex on the side of the ring and, you know, and everything like that, Kevin Owens' reply to Sami Zayn was, I'm going to kick you in the nuts. And he held it there.
Like best friends do?
Exactly. Anyway, so Baron Corbin's ready to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Shinsuke says, no, Shinsuke comes out. He destroys Baron. He destroys Ziggler. He destroys Sami. He goes to get the ladder. Kevin's like, it's my ladder. Don't take my ladder. I'm just going to hang here on this ladder. Shinsuke, no, don't take my ladder. But he took his ladder. Took him out. Shinsuke goes to get the belt, or about to. AJ's in the ring. They're like, Shinsuke took like 5 minutes to get the belt together, right? The ladder set up. And it's like, nope, we're going to move this aside, and we're going to beat the crap out of each other for 3 minutes. And that's what they did. And it was really awesome. The AJ Shinsuke moment.
That would be the moment that the crowd absolutely lost their minds.
And then, but in the end, they are battling on the ladder. Corbin's like, nope, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. Pushes them off. Baron Corbin struggles, but gets the briefcase down and is the winner of Money in the Bank. And I say points.
Do you feel better?
I do feel better. I thought this was a really good match. It didn't make up for the rest of the show, but it was a good ending to the show.
The men went out there and they put it all on the line, you know, which is the norm for this match. Everybody worked very well together. You didn't really have any awkward moments, which was good. There was a moment where we were all scared to death. AJ killed himself. The AJ Nakamura stuff was just like, oh, yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Do the thing. Yes. So I would suspect that's something that's coming for SummerSlam. But overall, like you said, this match was not enough to make up for the other matches in the show. And also, they kind of timed it a little weird because the first like 4 or 5 matches were really, really, really short. I shouldn't say really short, but they were about 12 to 13 minutes apiece.
First couple, yeah.
Which for a pay-per-view seems a little odd, especially seeing as you have 3 hours. But they gave Randy and Jinder a lot of time, and they gave this match a lot of time. The Money in the Bank, the second Money in the Bank match, a lot of time. Which I'm okay about the second Money in the Bank. I don't know about Randy and Jinder.
They could have lost 5 minutes on that one. But all right. Anyway, we picked Corbin, the video game, and 8-Ball picked Sami Zayn, and you went 6-0.
Like a boss? I'm just curious, what did you go?
I believe I went 3-3.
Oh, so you went 500.
I believe so. I just clicked off the sheet.
Because, you know, when you're awesome, you're awesome. Anyway, when we come back, because we are going to take our final break of the evening, We will be doing NXT Rundown and Tweet of the Week. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Don't tell your mother, kiss one another, die for each other, we're cold for the summer.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
You know what? Honestly, it's changed my life. I am so grateful for the opportunity of not only being a part of WWE, but being a part of Total Divas. I mean, when I first came in, I did do the WWE Diva Search, but I originally, did my tryout. I got my developmental deal, and I was not supposed to move until July to the Performance Center, which is in Orlando. But this last-minute thing came up for Total Divas, so I went ahead and I auditioned for that, and then I got it. And as soon as I got it, I moved. Within 48 hours. And then ever since then, I've been on the road. So,
wow.
Yeah, not only has it changed my life so drastically and fast, but it's also made me grow in so many different ways. I mean, the only downfall is, I am brand new. I am a brand new entertainer wrestler, but so I'm learning as I go on the road and on TV. So that's extremely hard, especially I am a perfectionist, so I take everything to heart. But on the flip side, it's the best thing in the world. So, there's always pros and cons to everything, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is TNA superstar EC3, unbeaten world heavyweight champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. You missed the news. You missed our interview with Angelina Love. You haven't missed Slammiversary. You can check that out July 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern. And well, you miss Money in the Bank, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I need to answer something in the chat room first.
Okay.
Why Greece? Why not Greece? Just saying, why not Greece? What's wrong with Greece? It's a summer theme. Summer nights.
SummerSlam. Slammiversary.
No, summer. First day of summer was yesterday. That was the reason. You have no taste.
Don't insult our listeners.
It's the intern.
Oh, go ahead. And before I forget, don't forget to also check out the fine folks over at fightbooth.com. Can't forget them because they're amazing, so go check out their stuff. Anyway, tweet of the week. Barsunday tweeted Kevin Owens, "My hashtag penis even looks better than hashtag new face of America." Kevin Owens replies, "Great hashtag."
He's checking out the man's hashtags.
Gonna leave it right there. Nick Wheeler tweeted, "Kevin Owens looks like the fat kid at the pool that's afraid to take his shirt off." Kevin Owens replies, "I'm sorry to break this to you, but you look like me, buddy." Paul tweeted, "Kevin Owens, must AV took a hit to the head tomorrow, fella."
Have, Kevin probably.
Kevin Owens replies, "I'm wrestling tonight in Indianapolis, you absolute dumbass." Gav Wave tweeted, "Rusev, what's it like being a massive failure right now? Like, massive failure. Embarrassing to say the least. Hashtag loser." Rusev replies, "Sorry, it took me so long to respond. I had to find my phone, but my estate is huge and I had to park my 200K car. What was the question again?" Popvinyls.com. So, don't forget to buy the Enzo and Cass 2-pack this August at Walgreens. This was on Monday night, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted this right after Raw. Popvinyls.com. "Make sure to display at Enzo and Cass out of box. They need space."
Who said that? Popvinyls?
Popvinyls.com.
Okay.
It's like, wow, just going for it.
Can I throw an honorable mention in there?
Yes.
And I'm trying to find it really quickly, but basically, our TJ Omega pointed out that you could just put a sticker over it and make it versus.
Yeah.
He tweeted that at us, so there you go.
Yeah. Kevin Owens, at BigCast WWE. Smiley face. Stephanie Bryant tweeted WWE, AJ Styles, and Kevin Owens. It goes, "AJ Styles should, S-H-U-D, of Ben, B-I-N, Mr. Money in the Bank." That she spelled right. Kevin Owens goes, "This melted my brain. Thank you." That's all I got.
Okay, I have a lot.
I figured.
The Associated Press talked about Amazon buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. John Keem.
It's getting serious.
John Keem. "If they had used Amazon Prime, could have probably got it for 13.6. Chris Law. "Amazon soon to announce its acquisition of Walmart, Nike, and Planet Earth." In response to that.
No, they're going to have to fight Google for it.
Charlotte Wilder, "Don't let Amazon buying Whole Foods distract you from the fact that you can get a master's degree for the price of one tub of cashews there." Loud and Noxious, former guest of Taco Talk Live, a show we used to do on network. "Amazon is buying Whole Foods? Can we get groceries delivered by drones now?"
Maybe.
Betty F. and White, "Trump is a really screwed story. After 70 years of being self-serving and greedy, suddenly he wants to take healthcare away from Tiny Tim." Tommaso Ciampa, "I'm disappointed you didn't break your silence to wish me a happy Father's Day. Hashtag, who's your daddy? Hashtag, Ciampa's your daddy."
Tommaso, honey, sweetie, don't give the fangirls the wrong idea, because they will jump all over that. You have no idea.
Paul,
next thing you know, you're going to be getting tweeted, "Oh, daddy," all the time.
He probably is.
He probably is.
Paul Heyman. "Okay, that was funny AF. I only wish I looked half as good then as WWE Fandango looks with a phone pressed up to his ear now. Hashtag phone gimmick." So it's a picture of Fandango doing the gimmick with the Paulie phone. Rusev. This was him trolling on Sunday. "Okay, I had enough of this. Here we go. Man, this Destiny, the game raids are hard." So he was trolling us through Money in the Bank saying he was coming out, and he didn't. Someone tweeted him, "You let us all down today, Rusev." He goes, "Don't worry. I'll build you all back up." Thank you, Rusev.
I love Rusev on Twitter. I love Rusev. I love Rusev in general. I miss him on TV so much. Because I need him to go out there and just do this.
Yeah. The other day put out how funny this Danger Bryan could be video. Brian goes, "We need a real King Regal funniest moments would be indefinitely better." Regal replied, "How insulting. I've dedicated my whole life to being a serious competitor."
You dressed in drag.
Shh. Rusev, "Now, go pre-order the WWE 2K18. Now, do it now. If you pre-order now, you can play with Rusev 4 days earlier than anyone else. Now."
The only thing that this made me think of when I saw that was the Samoa Joe bumper you have.
Mm-hmm. The one from the old WTR.
Yes.
Playing with yourself because you have an action figure, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted Rue said, what is like being a massive failure right now? Like, massive failure. Embarrassing to say the least. Hashtag loser. Rusev, sorry, it took me so long to respond. I had to find my phone, but my estate is huge, and I had to park my $200,000 car. What was the question again?
I just said that!
Oh, you did that one? Sorry. Finally, I stole one of yours. Anyway, ProWrestling.net. Professor Plum in the kitchen with the wrench. Finn Balor. Even Charlie's shriek sounded better than Samson's guitar.
Finn, what were you doing to make her shriek?
By the way, oh yeah, by the way, back to Money in the Bank really quick. By the way, I'm not going to touch that one. We learned that Lana's a screamer.
Lana is completely a screamer.
Anyway, Atlanta Hawks, according to our mentions, we should trade for everybody. Charlotte Hornets, bruh, same. Atlanta Hawks, we'll trade you today's tweet for tomorrow's tweet and an unprotected future tweet. Charlotte Hornets, does that work on the ESPN trade machine? The LA Clippers replied, the trade machine says that this works, so you should definitely do it. Trade is successful. Atlanta Hawks replied, the Clippers are correct. ESPN trade machine says okay. And it was for tomorrow's tweet, future unprotected tweet for today's tweet. Orlando Magic goes, we thought it was just us. Charlotte Hornets replied, throw in a snap with a puppy filter and we'll talk. And the Atlanta Falcons countered with that. That was the trade was successful. It was tomorrow's tweet, future unprotected tweet, and the right to swap 2018 draft tweets for today's tweet and a snap with a puppy filter. Charlotte goes, add a future second round Instagram post and we have a deal. Atlanta Hawks go, you drive a hard bargain, Hornets. You're lucky the trade machine still accepts it. Deal. What makes this all fun so much funnier? They did a deal together the next day for Dwight Howard.
That was the cover for Dwight Howard.
And what makes that even better for the deal for Dwight Howard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing something for the NBA's Twitter. He took over the Twitter like they have athletes do once in a while. So he took the Twitter over and was asking, so be nice, be careful, you know, just send me your trade ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within 5 minutes of him being on that NBA Twitter, he got traded. And then that Twitter went silent. Perfect. Anyway, someone asked WWE Aleister Black, are you a flat earther? Aleister Black replies, I love pancakes, yes.
Aleister, no! Yes, but no!
So, Triple H was on some show in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, talking all the different things. And Killian Dane goes, any news with Cristiano to my beloved Man United? Because Triple H is doing all that. And Drew McIntyre goes, guess Triple H didn't feel like working 95% of the time was enough. Now taking up presenting the latest Premier League news. Because, you know, he's the game. He does it all. And Mike Johnson goes, I gotta tell you, the last thing I thought I would be doing before bed is writing and recording about Law & Order Special Victims Russo.
Yes.
And now, it's time for the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, the show had some breaking news during it from an altercation that happened earlier in the day where Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong sort of brawled at a photo shoot when Roddy and his wife and the baby showed up and then Bobby and Roddy brawled.
Okay, I'm just going to say this because Whit and I were talking about this earlier today. Bobby, honey, you really should not insult Roddy's wife given who she hangs out with, given who she's friends with. She's part of the Four Horsewomen. They will mess you up, honey. Just stop. Leave the wife out of it and the baby. Just go for Roddy.
And he will, I believe, on July 5th, they're going to do the match for the NXT Championship. So that'll be cool.
That will be cool.
So also on the show, we had the main event was Aleister Black versus Cassius Ohno. We had a confrontation beforehand between Hideo and Cassius, and, you know, Hideo sort of chumming up to him, basically apologizing for what, you know, losing his temper and what have you. And so we all expected Hideo to interfere in the matchup. He did not. They had a really good match.
What I want to know is, when did Hideo get his ear pierced?
I don't know.
He was wearing a diamond stud. I want to know when he got his ear pierced, or if he came like that.
Tweet him and ask him?
I should. I may. Not tonight. Anyway,
thoughts on the match.
thoughts of the match, this was really, really good. It was very, very slow to start because they were feeling each other out. But once they got going, they got going. They had a kickoff over Alistair's little seated pose in the middle of the ring, I guess. Because, you know, Cassius did it to mock him and Alistair was having none of that. And so he started to kick Cassius and Cassius kept kicking him back. I mean, there was a lot of really good back and forth at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Should point out that I think, if I remember right, Cassius did actually kick out of the Black Mass, but they didn't acknowledge it.
I don't think they called the Black Mass, so it may have just been a kick.
May have been a kick, but for some reason it felt like Alistair hit the Black Mass, and he kicked out of it.
I don't think he did. I think it was just a kick.
Anyway, but yeah, this was a really, 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 really good main event.
Should note the NXT title match will be on the 400th episode of NXT.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's like having 5 years of shows.
I know.
Who does that?
Nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Sanity beat the Ely Brothers.
I feel kind of bad for Sanity because it's like Nikki Cross has gone off and done her own thing and now Killian Dane is off doing his own thing. And it's just Alexander Wolf and Eric Young that are left.
Well, they're all together. They're just separate at the moment. Sonya Deville defeated Rachel Evers.
She didn't defeat her. She beat her into submission.
I was going to say, so the first time they had Sonya come out and they did a competitive match, this was more of a domination by Sonya.
Yeah, I mean, she just beat Rachel Evers into the ground. I liked the video package that they made for Sonya. They made her look like a legit badass. She came out. She did the match. She looked really good. Mm-hmm. I like that they're starting to build her. It feels like she could be a threat for Asuka.
Give her about a year
if Asuka's still there, but yeah, she's going to be something.
Oh, and I actually have to give myself 2 more points because she won my submission. I forgot about that. I got extra points. I'm happy about this. I forgot about the submission.
He's padding his numbers, y'all.
Truthfully padding my numbers. Ember Moon beat Peyton Royce.
So happy to see Ember Moon back. This was actually a really, really decent match. I wouldn't say it was like 100% great, but it was a decent match.
It was a fine match. Peyton versus is improving by the week.
Mm-hmm.
I look around, right, at Ember Moon, right, and we all know where she's headed. She's headed to fight Asuka for the belt. I don't know if Ember is going to be the right person to beat Asuka for the belt. There's part of me that believes she is, but there's this tiny part that's starting to creep up where it's like, maybe not.
At this point, they haven't put it on her. I don't think they're going to do it. I could be completely wrong about that, but I have a feeling that they're getting Ember ready to go up to the main roster here very, very soon. And so it's like, okay, well, we're not going to put the belt on her for that reason. Because they can put one of the main titles on her, and that'll be fine. Like you said, Ember up to SmackDown, and she can be a challenger for Naomi.
Yeah, it just feels like Asuka's so dominant, and having Ember be the one, you would then have to move Asuka away, but I don't think you're moving Asuka away. So it's like, I don't know. They'll still put the belt on Ember, but I don't know. Something about it just isn't feeling right now. Maybe it's a lack of momentum with Ember.
Well, she just came back. Give it a little time.
We'll see. But that's just a thought I had. That's all. Anyway, that's NXT.
That's NXT in a nutshell. So overall good show. We're building to TakeOver.
And it was the final show with Tom Phillips as the lead announcer, as mentioned earlier.
Because next week we get Mauro Ranallo. And next week my ovaries are going to explode because we're doing Asuka versus Nikki Cross in a last woman standing match.
I guess we'll have to talk about it next week too.
I mean, my God, my ovaries are going to implode. Anyway, enough about my ovaries. Next week is a special week because not only are we going to be previewing Slammiversary, which airs on July 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern, it is also the 5-year show of the Rack, and we need your help. We need questions. We are doing Ask the Rack, which is one of our favorite segments. This is where you, the listeners, can tweet us, you can Tumblr us, you can call us. You can ask us any kind of question you want. If you ask a smart-ass question, expect a smart-ass answer. And Rock, where can you contact us at?
Media@wildtalkradio.com is the email. At wildtalkradio, at Rack Radio Show on the Twitters, Wild Talk Radio Network on the Facebooks, Rack Radio Show on the Facebooks. You know how to get us on Tumblr if you have it. That's how you do it. Give us the question. You can call 267-297-1397. If you're brave enough to call on a question. Matt, I know you hate writing questions. You have to write some questions.
You do. It's required of Team Chat to write questions.
You don't have to call in your questions. just write a, send us a couple questions.
Wait, you don't want us to call you and sing to you?
No, you have him sing to us.
Oh, is that it?
That's call out Carolyn Cundis. He would have to, we did on KJM where he had to sing to us, but he didn't answer his phone. We don't sing to you, you sing to us. Hey, Matt, you want to say, should we call you Matt next week and have you sing happy anniversary to us?
Oh, we totally should. We totally, totally should.
Unless you send in questions. If you send in questions, then maybe we won't call you.
Because if we have... We could call the intern, too.
We could.
And he could share his favorite Eva memories with us, because, you know, we interviewed Eva Marie.
And we played that commercial earlier.
So, you know... He could share his favorite Eva memories with us.
Okay. Don't blame me. Anyway, that will be the 5-year show of the Rack. Send in your questions for Ask the Rack. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Don't blame me on this one. This is all her.
Lies. You don't quit. No, you don't leave. You never quit. What are you, on the road to 2000 or something like that? You'd have to take a day off to quit, dude.
Anyway.
Anyway, is it time for me to plug my stuff? Because we've just gone off the rails.
Off the rails. Saturday Night Midnight is at CB Radio. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Raw. What's up, guys? Last week we did sex toys and Super Nintendo video games. This week we're doing TV villains on the Greater Than Great Debate. Check it out, Saturday Night's Midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on the stuffs I just mentioned. Sunday on Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitter. Monday nights, we're all posted at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, twitch.tv/rackradio. The show is WTR Sims. This week we're doing Total Nonstop Sims, The Impact Invasion, WTR versus Impact Wrestling on WTR Sims. Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/rackradio. The show. We'll be back next Thursday night for its 5-year celebration of the Rack. All fun stuff. All amazing stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff on the YouTube. YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Amazing video package that's up that you also listen, look and watch because it's awesome. I did all, spent a lot of time working on it, so I hope you all check it out. It's available at YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Isn't it awesome? Doesn't it make us sound professional?
It makes it sound super professional. I'm sitting there watching it like, damn.
We've done all that. So, yes, we'll share memories, we'll have stories, and we'll answer your questions, plus SmackDown, NXT, and we'll preview Slammiversary, which you can find on the Fight TV app or pay-per-view on July 2nd, featuring our guest from the evening, Elaine Jillian Love, as she teams with her husband, Davey Richards, to fight Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards in Full Metal Mayhem. It all takes place next week on the show. Wild Talk Radio. On Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome, fine sponsors that we have, including fightbooth.com, gerwick.net, and wrestlingfigurephotographyinstagram.com/MBG1211. So for Rock and Angelina Love.
Hold on, I got one thing to add. You know, we were talking about all these memories and stuff about the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know one guest we've interviewed multiple times?
Christopher Daniels?
Yes, that's him. We've also interviewed The Miz. And you know,
yes, we have.
And you know, Miz is Witt's favorite wrestler.
We've interviewed The Miz 3 times?
3 times, yes, because... Just figured I'd mention it. It's Witt's favorite wrestler, so just wanted to mention it. Anyway.
You're such a dick. You know that?
Not my
fault. You are such a dick.
Not my fault. She sent me a message 4 minutes ago about it.
God.
I had to reply. Now we're up for the show.
Anyway. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.